I think I'm on. Testing. Can you hear me? Oh, I hear me. Well, God has blessed us with another day. And unfortunately, Dave put me down to preach. Actually, he put me down last week to preach. And I didn't know it. We finally got the update on the website, so if you're following that, it's working now. I got a surprise that last Saturday, and he was like, "Hey, by the way, you know you're preaching." I'm like, "That's funny. I did not know that." He was like, "Well, Jared," he goes, "I'll come to your rescue. I'll save your life." So he preached for us and did an excellent job and gave me a little bit of time to figure out stuff. So I don't know. There's a lot of things that have been on my mind lately that I've just got going on and whatnot. And I started thinking about kind of like the unknown. You know, we always want to explore it. You know, we don't like to leave one rock unturned. You know, we started out, I guess a big push there for a while was outer space. Everybody wanted to go out there and check that out and, you know, wanted to explore the uncharted lands and seas. And, you know, for this reason or that, that's what we want to do. However, it says in the Bible that God created the things that are seen and unseen. And that's kind of a mystery in a way. And, you know, we all know, obviously know that we have the things that we can see. You know, we know that those exist because obviously we can touch it, we can see it. There's quite the evidence of it. Things like food, water, and shelter obviously are the biggest things. They're a huge blessing to us. If you just have one of these, it's huge. Around the world, you know, you're lucky if you have just one. You're lucky if you have any, actually. Sometimes, you know, I think about both near and far the struggles of people having, you know, the need for food, something to eat, the clean water to drink, just having a place to call home. All these things, really outside of that, are luxury items. You know, everybody, you know, "Oh, you don't need that, that's a luxury item." Or, "Oh, you know, you don't need that new case for your phone," or, "You don't need those new shoes." Well, yeah, that's true. But I would say anything outside of just the basic necessities, the actual need, is a luxury item that the Lord's blessed us with. And I would say also, you know, we would say that these three things, the water, food, and shelter, are things that we consider that we need to survive. Or is it? What about the things that are unknown or unseen? Well, food is a blessing, obviously, that eventually will fade away. I don't know if y'all have ever had, you know, watching those doctor shows on TV or anything where, you know, somebody is chronically ill, they're about to die, they're in a fatal position, and somebody just runs in and hands them a Big Mac. They're like, "Here, this will save your life." I don't think that that's usually what happens. I mean, they could be about to pass, and nobody's going to give you a Big Mac. That'd probably actually make it worse. They'll probably close a couple of arteries to close up or whatnot, but that's a whole other story. But if we're not careful, you know, obviously, food has even killed people. Obviously, there's been examples of that. There was a guy that came close called Super Size back in the day. It was about McDonald's, and I'm not bashing them, so don't think that, because I love the dollar menu. Anyway, but as far as it goes, you know, there's people that have died from just eating. They've killed themselves. You know, they've gone too big, and just, you know, it's not healthy. So eventually food will also pass away. So what is better for us to care about then, if not food? Well, I have one idea. That would be faith. Hebrews 11, 1 through 40 has so much to say, and I'm not going to read all of it, but the part that I will read, it talks about all the faith that basically is assurance of things to hope for and the conviction of things not seen. If you turn over there to it, you can tell that it talks a lot about the people in the Old Testament. It talks a lot about the people that was able to hope for things like Abraham and Sarah. You know, they were promised this child at such an old age, and then, you know, they're like, "Oh, that's funny, God. You know, that's never going to happen." So they tried to take it in their own hands, and things, you know, obviously didn't go exactly according to God's plan until, he actually said, like I told you, I promised you, you all would have the children together, and that's what he did. So even at a very old age, they were able to have it. You can see Cain and Abel, you know, the faith that they had. When it comes down to it, they all made the list. Even as they pointed out the other time, I believe he said something about Samson actually made it in there. You know, just because, even though he screwed up so much. So faith is huge. It's something that we definitely need. You know, there's really no certainty of what is to come. We have no assurance of so to say, that we even have for tomorrow. I mean, we know that because Jesus lives, that we will in him. But as far as promise of tomorrow, we don't have that. We don't know if today would be our last day or not. And sometimes we forget to live like that, to live as if each moment counts. And really, you know, these are things that, you know, are unseen. You know, they had no idea that what was going to happen, what was going to come from this, the people of faith. And, you know, it just goes to show you we shouldn't underestimate God. So what about water, okay? You know, that's another thing, you know, that we could do. Water is a blessing, obviously. It also will fade away. It does not keep us alive, even though our bodies are made of 70% of water, and it also will not save us from dying. Once again, if somebody was dying and they threw water at you, and I doubt that that's, you know, going to help. It might help you cool off, but that'd be about it. That's all it's going to do. In fact, I actually heard on the radio, probably not too far ago, but it said something of the fact that there was this lady that was at this contest that if you drank so many gallons of water, she would get this system, this game system for a son, and ended up drinking so much that she actually died. There's this thing that makes your blood cells burst if you drink so much water. So, I mean, it's not exactly the life-saving device either. So, water will pass away. And so what is better than that? Well, once again, I have a suggestion, and I would say that's hope. And if we look at 1 Peter, I think he says it pretty good. It's in 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 through 9. It says, "Blessed be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to live in the with a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And to this inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power is being guarded through the faith for salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. In this you rejoice, now for a little while. If necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so you have been tested generously of your faith, more precious than gold and that perishes through the tested by fire, but may be found in result of praise and glory and honor and at the revelation of Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith and the salvation of your souls." I mean, to me, that's a real beautiful passage. And, you know, there's a lot of things that he talked about in there. Hope, power, salvation, inheritance in a way. There's a lot of things that we can hope for. You know, we must focus and never lose hope. Even when it seems that we're cornered, even when it seems that there's no, you know, and I find it interesting, light at the end of the tunnel. Have you ever heard that saying? I always find that interesting because if Jesus is supposed to be the light, you know, that's always been always a curious thought to me because they're like, oh, there's no light at the end of the tunnel. Well, you know, I like to see my cup is 1/16 full. You know, if you have that in the desert and you have just a little drop of water, it's life, you know, powering. You want to go and hold on to that. It's worth more than any kind of money. But as far as being cornered, you know, sometimes you've heard if you don't stick somebody in a corner, you know, you never know what they'll do or they'll lash out or whatever. I think that there's something more we can do than just that. Also, like I said, we talked a little bit about our inheritance, talking about in heaven, being kept in there. We have a future. We can run that race and have that goal of Christ and realize that the power of God is working not only within us, but all around us. And he gives us this peace, a wonderful peace that surpasses all understanding. So we should not underestimate him. Another thing that we talked about earlier that we really, really like is shelter. It's a blessing, once again, and it also will fade away. It does not keep us alive, unfortunately. You know, depending on some structures, it's really better not to go in them. I don't know if y'all see around, you know, some different places, but, you know, it looks like if you were just to sneeze, it would blow over the walls, and there goes the house on top of you. You know, it's just not exactly always safe. In fact, once again, people have actually died, even being in new or old buildings that are just not sound. So yes, shelter too will also pass away. But is there something better? Well, once again, I have a suggestion, and I would say that's love. John, 1 John 4:8, it says, "Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." A lot of people forget that. A lot of people are like, "Oh, well, love is something that you know you feel. It's an emotion. It's something that you know obviously you can share between people and this." But you know, love is more of a verb. It's an action. It's something that is one sided. It doesn't have to be a two way. People are like, "Oh, well, love is a two way road." Well, no, it's not. You can love somebody even if they don't love you back. God was the first to do that and to show that by example. He loved us more than we ever deserved. And he does it for everybody, even if they don't love him back. Let's see. And there's also in 2 Corinthians, if you want to turn there. In 2 Corinthians, and I'll kind of cut it up a little bit. It's in chapter 4. And I'll read 6 through 9 and then 16 through 18. But 6 through 9 says that for God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. But we have this treasures in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. And then we go into 16. It says, "So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away and our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentarily afflicted, is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient," which means passing, "but the things that are unseen are eternal." So, there was a thing that pretty much the whole Bible talks about. There's this mystery. There's this coming. And it's talked about all through the Old Testament. And everybody was so excited. And people had passed away long before it even happened. And this mystery is something that God had. And we had to wait for him to reveal it. And a mystery of a promise that was unseen, which now we do know. And this mystery I'm talking about, if you'll go to Ephesians in chapter 3, which probably most of you already could figure out where I was going with that, but it's in chapter 3, and it's 8 through 21, and I'll try to make it a quick read out of it for you. But it's Ephesians chapter 3, 8 through 21. It says, "To me, though I am very least of all the saints, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that the church, the manifold wisdom of God, may now be known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I'm suffering for you, which is your glory. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches and the glory he may grant you strength and power through his Spirit and the inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, and that it fill you with the fullness of God. And now to Him who is able to do more abundantly than we can ask or think, according to the power that is in work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. So, guess what? That talks about Christ. Also, that's, you know, you can see John 3:16. Everybody pretty much knows that. But it's God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so this mystery that we had been waiting to be revealed, it's Christ. So guess what? Let's go back and review a little bit. Are you in need of food that doesn't pass away? If you look at John 6:48, it says, Jesus says that He is the bread of life. All right, that's a food that is ongoing. He's the source of what we need for food. This is, if you're in need of water that doesn't pass away, we can look at John 4:14, and it says, the water that, basically paraphrase-wise, He said, the water that He gives, no one shall ever thirst again, and He will cause it to overflow, welling up to eternal life. Well, if you're in need of shelter that doesn't pass away, there's also one for that. In John 14:1-4, it says, let your hearts not be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in Me also. In My Father's house there are many rooms. If it was not so, I would not have told you. I would have told you to go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you there Myself. And where I am, you will be also. So there are things in our future that are unseen. There are things that we think sometimes that are impossible. But luckily, we serve a God that does not know the word impossible. He only sees the possible. And it doesn't matter what it is. You know, even if you were like Moses and you were stuck in a corner and you were surrounded by mountains and there was only one path, and you have the Israelites on shore, right there at the ocean river, I mean the sea area, and you have all the Egyptians coming in at you. Boy, does that sound like a no-win situation. You're like, okay, well, we're cornered, we're trapped, we have nowhere to go. I don't feel like swimming that far across all that distance. In fact, most probably couldn't even swim anyway. But there's that chance that, you know, God is involved. And when God's involved, even when you seem like you're stuck and you got nowhere to go, He makes a way. And that's always impressive to me. I mean, any kind of situation you can look at, God always had an answer for. It didn't matter if it was, you know, having Jesus being dead. He was risen back. You know, these things that we see as impossible are possible with God. So, what else is there? Okay, well, God is faithful. He said He would be. He even gives us a hope that we'll be one day reunited all together. That this is not it. And this is not the only thing that we have. It's not, hey, we get to see some people for a short time and then, you know, we die and that's it. It's not that way. We will be reunited one time. And all of us that serve Him one day in heaven. And that's one of the most important things needed for life. It's not not only needed just in this life, but in the one to come. And what that is the way, the truth, and the light. And yes, that is Jesus. When we think about just life in general, it's not always easy. It's not always fun. In fact, I never heard God ever say, oh, that you'll have a perfect life, that it'll be, you know, no temptations or trials or tribulations or anything that, you know, is under the sun that wouldn't be just perfect and fine and dandy. In fact, sometimes if you go back to Job and you think about what he went through, you can see that there is a lot of things that we struggle with. In fact, Job went through pretty much all of them that I could think of. But yet, he still praised God, even in such terrible circumstances. And when we think of being tried and all these different things, we really can tell and focus on Christ, and that He can get us through. And thank God that we have somebody like that. I still can't imagine, you know, some of the people that don't have any kind of hope when their loved one's dying, and they see him on the deathbed, and they know that they probably won't ever see him again, or, you know, as far as they know, and you know, they don't have hope. They don't have anything. I don't know how you could live without Christ at that moment. I don't know what they hope for. I just can't imagine. It's like, oh, well, that's done. You know, I just can't imagine. So for me, Christ is the answer for all these things. You know, these things are great to have, like I said, food, water, and shelter. But when it comes down to it, they're nothing in comparison to having Christ. I would give up all those just to have Christ. And I hope that y'all would do the same. I think John's already got a closing song picked out for us. So if there's anybody that is needing Christ and realize that he's more important than life itself, or at least this life, please come to the front as we stand and sing.